Hi, I'm Michaela, a psychotherapist.
Hi, I'm Savannah, not a psychotherapist.
Welcome to our podcast, Be You, Find Happy.
Real life conversations about life and the pursuit of happiness.
Hi.
Hello.
So I thought it would be cool to tell a little bit of the backstory, which I normally don't do with the guest, but it's just so interesting that I thought that I, you know, would tell it while you're on the phone, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
So I met Monica at the hair salon, which was an emergency appointment. I was not even supposed to be there, had never actually been to Brittany before. And my sister-in-law had connected me with her because I was going on TV the next morning at 5 a.m. And you were getting your hair done that day and sitting next to me in the chair. And then I think I heard you talking about this competition that you had coming up and was just completely enamored by what you do and was like, you have to be on my podcast. And you're like, okay, I'll be on your podcast. So I just thought that was so interesting because we would have never, you know, it was such a unique series of events that we would have never met had it not been for that.
It's meant to be.
It's meant to be. So can you introduce yourself to the listeners and kind of just the elevator pitch on who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Monica Roblicky, and by day, I work at a mortgage company, and by evening, I lift random heavy objects and move them around in a sport called strongman.
It's amazing. I just, when you were talking about that, and you know, it's interesting because my co-host Savannah and I had been saying, we've been getting a lot of requests for like body image episodes. And I was like, you would be the perfect person to talk about this. There's just like no better person to talk about body image. And so I'm thrilled to have you on today. And I have a lot of questions that I've jotted over the last couple of weeks and, you know, kind of getting to know you better through your Instagram. And so the first question would be, you know, how did you find your way to this type of competition? So it's called the Strong Man Competition, and you are a woman competing in this competition.
Yes.
Can you explain how that works?
Okay. So a little bit of history on Strong Man. Strongman's been around for a long time. You know, back in like the 1800s and stuff, they would have in the circuses, they would have men lift heavy, you know, crazy. They had like a thing called a circus dumbbell. It's just a giant, obscene looking dumbbell that they would overhead press, you know, and it would just amaze people. So strongman's kind of been around for a long time. Back in like the late 70s is when World's Strongest Man came onto the scene, and that competition started. And I'm in Florida right now because that's where I'm from. And World's Strongest Man is this week in Bradenton, Florida. So I'm going to be going down there on Thursday to watch them do monster truck pulls. But anyways,
they literally are going to pull monster trucks like humans.
They've pulled giant like military planes.
Wow.
Trucks. You can go on YouTube and watch. They have every single World's Strongest Man competition starting from 1977.
Wow. I mean, you hear stories of people that are, you know, in fight or flight, adrenaline's pumping, and they lift a car off a kid. But these people are training to do this on command.
There's actually one of the events, not for this. It might be in this this year's World Strongest Man. One of them that you will see in strongman competitions is a car deadlift.
Wow.
So you're literally up a car for reps, not just once. You're doing it for reps.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I could lift a car if it was on my foot.
you'd be surprised. I say that all the time. You would be surprised. I firmly believe people are stronger than they realize. A lot of women don't realize just how strong they are. You don't necessarily need that fight or flight, you know, adrenaline pumping. Cause I experience it in the gym all the time. My friends that come out and train with me.
So, so I have two questions that I got. Gosh, I've got so many questions. I'm so I'm just over the moon. So the first one though is, and maybe we can kind of get to both of them. The first one is, how did you find out about this? Have you always like been interested in it? And then the second one is, what do your friends think about this? I mean, this is pretty intense what you do. And are they intimidated, you know, by your strength and all of that? Or are they uplifted by, you know, your ability to see what you're capable of?
Yeah, so as well, there's a lot. Well, I came into the sport recently. I've only been doing strongman since August, so not even a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So but for the longest time, I'd kind of heard of strongman, and for the longest time, I was like, oh yeah, strongman, that's like the really super duper big dudes that are lifting 1,000 pounds and like doing crazy stuff. Like there's no women doing that. Like, nah, that's not, yeah. I've never seen any women do that. And, then back last summer, I was listening to a podcast and Brian Shaw was a guest on it. And he's competing this week. He's going for his 5th World Strongest Man title. So he's
wow.
4 times World Strongest Man. He's one of the elite guys in the sport. And so I was listening to a podcast and he happened to be a guest. And just hearing him talk about it, I was like really interested because I was getting bored. You know, I was training at a commercial gym and kind of doing bodybuilding kind of, you know, just to try to just stay in shape. But I was just so bored with the whole, you know, machines. And I just was at a stale point in my life with training. And so,
and I think a lot of people probably have felt that. I'm not huge gym person myself. I'm just real kind of hippie outdoorsy. So I, you know, rather hit the pavement, I tell people, but I have a lot of friends, and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law are really big into that community. And I hear them say that, you know, they even kind of gym swap because they get like tired of the equipment, tired of the people. Like it's here. Yeah. I think a lot of people could probably relate to that.
Yeah, for sure. And like you get to this point, I think a lot of people too, like, well, I have to exercise, like I have to do it. Or they feel like, you know, they got to punish themselves because they ate a giant hamburger the night before. And like, I have to go to the gym. I got to get, you know, but when I really discovered strongman from listening to Brian Shaw talk about it, I Googled strongman gym, Sacramento. The only one that came up is this gym called Untamed Strength, and never heard of it. Literally right in my backyard this whole time, never heard of it. The owner, his name's Alan Thrall, he's got huge YouTube channel, huge. He has like, I think 600,000 subscribers or something. Wow. And he puts out a lot of informational videos, like how to do different lifts correctly. They're really, really amazing. I highly recommend people check out his YouTube. Never even heard of him though. So I go to this gym and he's got kegs and sandbags and big giant tires and all kinds of fun strongman toys. And so I checked it out and it sparked this like huge flame in me because I had been so bored doing, you know, my commercial gym training. And I just wanted to do something totally different and And so,
do you think it's something anybody can do? I mean, when we talked at the salon that day, you really mentioned that what originally pulled you to it was the camaraderie and the training and the competition.
Yeah.
And that seems like it's super unique. To me, it seems like, you know, it's always a one-up situation. And this, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like everybody's kind of working together almost. Can you explain that culture that you experience while you're there?
Oh yeah. It's definitely, the first competition I ever did was in September and it was a unsanctioned event. So I didn't have to like register with a federation or anything. It was just a unsanctioned local event out in a gym in Roseville. And I was still, I'm a very secure person now, but like even at that time, but I still kind of felt a little bit intimidated because I'd never done any kind of this kind of competition before. Sure. But like instantly I felt like at the first event. So there's five events in a competition. Every event, every competition has five events. And so right after the first event, like people are cheering you on. Like even the girls, you know, that you're competing against, they're rooting for you, because the thing about strongman is that like, yeah, you have other, you know, ladies that you're competing against, but it's still the fact that you're watching someone do this amazing feat of strength, because especially if you participate in that sport, you know how difficult it is to, you know, move that weight or lift that, you know, axle bar with the tires on it, like doing these crazy things. Like, you know yourself how hard it is, and then watching someone else do it, even though she's your competition, you're just like, you want them to like kill it, like get it done, like
Yeah.
Pretty much. I just competed this past weekend in Columbus. It was my first ever nationals event. So it was my biggest competition I've ever been in my life. And I had 14 girls in my weight class. And we're all out there screaming. Like, we had a yoke walk, which is a bar with weights on it, and the total was 550 pounds, and we had to carry it a total distance of 120 feet. And so, you know, one of the girls is going, and we're all screaming like, yeah, go, keep going.
Wow.
Go, drop, keep going, like
just cheering each other. Yeah. I like to say straightening each other's crowns, like helping each other out.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, even though we're all
hear me?
Other, you still like, it's just cool to see someone do that. So
I think that's amazing. One of the things that that comes across really strong in your feed is your confidence with your body, your love of God, I should even say Jesus, because I can see that you're Christian here, and also some really inspiring videos that are like just you being raw and authentic, and you can see like the passion and the pain and like the whole kind of conglomeration of emotion there. How do you draw inspiration from the world to be able to have the strength? Because I feel like there's a lot of internal strength here to post some of the videos that you're posting and whatnot. I mean, they're just so exposing, you know what I mean? And I don't mean in the way of like your body per se, like you're fully clothed and all of that, but I mean in your you know, watching you kind of fight this whole process and then drop and like be done or whatever. In one of them, I saw you moving hay bales, and I'm like, yeah, I can do one of those, just one. And I consider myself, you know.
Oh, hello. I think I lost you. Oh, wait. Hello.
Am I there?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Okay.
Maybe a new spot isn't working. I'm going to move back to my other spot just to be safe. I was saying I saw you move like the 50-pound bale of hay and my layer crumble and stuff, but I can only do a handful of that, not a lot like you are doing. So where do you find the strength to put yourself out?
Well, this is going to be a very Christian response, but I get all my strength from God, straight up. Like, I'm not, I know it might strike some chords with some people, you know, but my faith is the biggest thing in my life. Like, it's more important to me than strongman stuff.
In all these videos and things, I saw one where you were moving these hay bales and you know, being a kind of a country girl, I move my layer feed and 100 feet, and I'm like, yay, I did that. But where do you find the internal strength to kind of put yourself out there in the way that you're doing it? Because I know that I even feel like sometimes I'll go to post a picture and I'm like, oh, I look really fat in that picture, or, you know, I don't like my smile in that picture. And you're just really not afraid to be you. You are not afraid to put that out there. And I'd love for you to share where that where that's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one word to describe me, I would definitely say it's unapologetic.
Love that.
Yeah, I'm very, very unapologetic. What you had said earlier about me, God is the biggest, most important thing in my life. Super Jesus freak. And I understand not everyone, you know, shares my beliefs. I get that. But I don't hide that. I'm pretty sure you got that from my Instagram as well. And so, yeah, my inner strength is totally from God and from my faith. And like, I'm very secure in my identity, and I know where my identity is. And so anything that the world has to say about me and kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Not like put downs, but you know, I don't know, any kind of negative response or negative comments, you know, I'll post something and like, I'm not a small frame female. Like, so, you know, if somebody's going to say something negative about me, that it there, whatever opinion it is, it doesn't matter to me because I know exactly whose I am. You know, I'm a child of God. I'm his daughter. And so anything that is negatively said about me, it literally, I couldn't care less.
Wow. I remember when we were sitting there at the salon and you're like, yeah, I'm in the heavyweight competition and I'm 6 foot, however tall you are and however many pounds. I mean, can you share that with the listeners?
Oh, yeah. I actually compete. So in the local competitions, you have novice, lightweight, middleweight, and heavyweight. So in the local competitions, I compete as a heavyweight, but then in nationals, they have super heavyweight. So I competed in the super heavyweight because I weighed in on Friday for my competition Saturday, and I weighed in at 244. So, and like,
and how tall are
I'm
you
like
again?
Just under 6 feet. I'm like,
yeah, I remember. I'm tall. I'm like 5'9" and a half, and I remember you were towering above me.
Yeah,
I knew you were like right skirting six foot.
Yeah, and I still wear heels too. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, here I was, you know, getting ready to go to Hollywood, where it's all about like being perfect. Absolutely perfect in their like way of what they see perfect being and all of that. And then to meet you was super inspiring for me because my own negative self-talk is really loud sometimes when it comes to that. So I haven't shared this on my podcast before, but I suffered from an eating disorder when I was a teenager.
Same here.
I was actually hospitalized. Pretty much all the muscle around my heart had like eaten itself away. I was 119 pounds at the time. So I'm a little heavier than I'd like to be now just for what feels good to me. But all my life, especially when I was pregnant, you know, watching the scale going up it's always been a challenge for me. They say once you have an eating disorder, you always have an eating disorder. You're just in recovery. And I think there is something to that. I don't limit myself anymore, but I'm pretty mindful and cautious about what I eat and when I need to check myself and stuff like that. And I feel like it's an emotional struggle, probably related to anxiety. I mean, I know that's the root of most eating disorders, and I think that's probably just an underlying thing I'm always going to have. So for me, my relationship with the scale is a love-hate relationship. How do you weigh in? How do you do that? Like, what... I'd love to know your mindset when you're getting ready to step on that scale.
Well, I mean, I had tons of struggles growing up. I had an eating disorder when I was my entire sophomore year. I had an eating disorder for about a year and a half. I didn't drastically lose weight. I did it because I wanted to fit in. Being a big girl, like, I've always been like the tallest one in my class, you know, in elementary, middle school, being 11 years old and looking like you're 16, 17, you know, and like females are supposed to be small frame. Like the average female's smaller than, you know, women are typically smaller than men. Well, I'm an outlier. I'm not of like the normal female size. I'm tall, like, you know, like an average dude, pretty much.
Right.
I struggled heavily with my body image for a long time because, like, I wanted to be this cute, you know, little petite framed female, and like here I am. Like, I mean, you've already met me, so I'm, you know, I'm thick and I've got muscle now. But like, I had an eating disorder because I wanted to lose weight, I wanted to fit in, and I was obsessive with the scale. You know, all I cared about was this number, and I wanted to see it go down. And for a very long time, that was my constant struggle, was this number on the scale, and like caring way too much about it. And I pretty much reached a point in my life where I was like, screw it. I'm like done with this. Like, it's just, it's occupying way too much of my mind. And I'm like not living a life. And so as I've gone through my fitness journey. So back 10 years ago, I weighed my heaviest. I was about 270 pounds. And so that's when I started like running. I got into running to lose weight. I still kind of believe the whole myth that weights are for men. So if I like pick up a barbell, I'm going to turn into a dude, which I know a lot of women, like they think that, you know, I don't want to get bulky. I hear it all the time, you know, mm-hmm. lift weights because they don't want to look bulky, but like lifting weights is the best thing that women can do for their bodies. So like along my fitness journey, I've learned a lot about how our bodies work and how you can change the shape of your body, you know, like achieve that toned look that a lot of women say that they want, that toned, you know, athletic fit look. Well, in order to do that, you need to lift weights. And when your body's changing, like I weighed in at 244 on Friday. Actually, tomorrow I'm going to post it's Transformation Tuesday. So I'm going to post a transformation picture tomorrow on my Instagram. And it's going to be a picture of me 7 years ago when I weighed 244 and me today at the same weight, because the shape of my body changed because I've built muscle and I've lost fat. So like, so this is like the whole, ties into the whole, like the scale is bullshit.
Yes.
Don't focus, you know, people shouldn't focus so much on it because, yeah, 7 years ago when I was like starting my weight loss journey and like trying to lose weight, and I wanted to get into Wonderland. I wanted to get below 200 pounds. So me at 244, 7 years ago, I was a size like 18. I was wearing like a size 16, 18. But now like I'm 244 today and I wear a size 12.
Oh, wow. That's a huge difference. That's six sizes.
Yeah. So like, you know, I have no doubt that a lot of women are hearing 244 and probably thinking that number is a big number. And like, yeah, you know, I am a taller female, so.
But you know, I wouldn't, I mean, I don't really know like weight that well outside of my own body, but I wouldn't guess you as 244 just, you know, like the other day when I met you in real life. It would never have put that number on you.
Yeah. And like, so that's the thing about sizes and when you're training and building muscle, like you're building muscle, but you're also burning fat too.
So then would you encourage people to stay off the scale if they're in that process of?
I would say that the best thing psychologically for anyone wanting to just be healthy and be in shape is to not focus on the scale. Maybe use it, you know, once a month, you know, weigh yourself once a month, but I would go based off of how your clothes are fitting, how you look, looking at yourself in the mirror and like, do I like the way that I look? You know, do I want to lose a little more fat? Okay, so continue eating in a calorie deficit. So eating in a deficit and moving more. Measurements. Measure yourself too, because that's one of the best ways to gauge progress is measurements. The scale, don't worry so much about it, because that number, it doesn't account, the number is not going to account for how much muscle that you've built versus how much fat you've lost. It's just gauging your overall relationship between you and Earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Earth. That's it. That's all it
is. I love all of that. Gosh, I hadn't really thought about it like that, but that's a really good way to look at it.
Yeah.
I know for me, after becoming a mom, you know, I realized there was so much more that I needed to be putting my energy into than my weight. Yes. And that was really like the pivotal moment for me. But I counsel a lot of people who, you know, do these hyper kind of diets or hyper exercise regimens, you know, and they're bordering, there's a point in which, and like I said earlier, you know, anxiety, eating disorders are all rooted in anxiety of some sort, but there's this kind of new phenomenon happening where there's so much promotion of healthy eating and healthy living and healthy dieting and healthy exercising that people are like, oh, okay, so I can become completely obsessive about this thing and it's okay because it's quote good for me, but they're still being obsessive and still having that kind of obsessive compulsive rooted in anxiety stuff going on underneath.
They're finding something new to be obsessive about.
Yeah. So how do you balance what you're doing for the love of what you're doing? And, mm-hmm. And then, like you said, kind of still focusing on, I think it's a good thing to lose some fat. Like I know right now I have some extra fat in my butt and in my thighs. And I know that I feel that when I'm running or when I'm hiking, and it just isn't how humans, I think, we're 100%, you know, I think we're supposed to be active and doing things like that. So how do you kind of balance that whole world, that kind of inner dynamic, that voice that goes back and forth between what's obsessive, what's passion and hobby, what's healthy? How do you balance all that?
So like for me right now, I had been eating more in a surplus for the national competition I did. It was a really big competition. There were incredibly heavy weights that we had to do. And so I had been eating at maintenance and a little bit in a surplus. So I did, you know, I've gained a lot of muscle and I have added a little more fat on my body. So I'm going to go like in a little bit of a deficit just because I do want to cut just a little bit. But like I've reached a point from all of my experiences throughout the years and everything I've learned that, you know, it takes time, first of all, to cut, you know, to lose extra fat. It doesn't just come off like that, especially with women, because we have higher estrogen. So our bodies want to hold on to fat. So it is that's why it's so easy for men. That whole like, right. You know, it's easy, you know, a guy gets on a treadmill and, you know, drops 20 pounds in a day, and a woman sniffs a piece of chocolate cake and gains 50 pounds, you know, like, it's true though, like men have higher testosterone, so it's easier for them to lose weight. So I just know mentally that, you know, when I want to trim a little bit and get a little bit leaner, it's going to take a little bit of time, and I make sure to just be patient with myself. You know, that inner voice that like tries, that inner voice that everybody has in their head that tries to speak negatively about ourselves. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, damn. Yeah.
Look at my butt in these jeans. Like I can't, you know, or I've got the muffin top going on. I can't, you know, I'm the voice inside your head that like, I'm only speaking from my own personal experience. I used to call myself fat and ugly all the time. And right. So that, as far as I'm concerned, like that voice, that negative, anything that's like negative mindset, like it just doesn't matter anymore. Like, I just don't care about, as soon as that voice tries to creep in, I just tell it to shut up, and I just change my diet habits. You know, I focus more on lean meats and vegetables, and I still enjoy myself. You know, I don't think that people should necessarily completely cut anything out of their diet, because then you're just going to end up binging down the road because you crave whatever. Right. You have a huge sweet tooth. So, you know, that balance in my diet is a big thing. Like, I just eat a little bit less when I'm wanting to cut. And when I reach that certain, you know, when I feel good, I'm like, okay, I cut whatever, however many inches, like, then I'll just, you know, maintain.
Right.
Eat whatever it takes to maintain that size.
Somebody asked me yesterday, because I eat keto because it seems to me that the carbohydrates cause me a lot of heartburn and bloating. So mm-hmm. I just tend to keep my carbs to fruits and veggies. And I don't limit, but I try to be mindful. So if I'm at a birthday party and I, you know, want to have something like a cupcake or something, I will.
Yeah.
But I know I'm going to have the fallout later, you know? And somebody asked me, well, how do you do it? How do you stick to it? And I said, well, it's not a diet for me. It's a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
But when I find it's the toughest is when my husband brings home, you know, crap, I call it, like Oreos or whatever. Yeah. And I get home from a long day and I didn't take time to eat properly. And I'm really hungry and I'm starting to feel hangry. And I open the fridge, and if I don't have like fruits or veggies yeah. ready, chopped, ready to go, you know, a string cheese or a hard boiled egg or something like that, then I'm going to reach for the crap, you know, and then I'm off, you know. So what's your advice to people who maybe are up against that? And this is your world. So obviously you're pretty on as far as, you know, being mindful with your eating choices. So what's your advice to people who maybe are up against that? And this is your world. So obviously you're pretty on as far as, you know, being mindful with your eating choices. But what would you recommend to people who are like maybe listening to this podcast, feeling inspired, and they want to start to make a change?
I would say the best way to get started is to start small. You need to have goals for yourself, and you need to set goals. But like, if you're just getting started, let's say you're a complete newbie, you've never done anything exercise wise, you've never really paid any attention to your diet at all, like you don't even know like how to cook healthy meals or whatever. Start small. Like if you try to just completely do a 180, you are setting yourself up for failure, because you haven't mastered the psychological part of making these changes. That's the biggest thing for everyone. It's a psychological, emotional discipline that you kind of have to master, and it's going to take time. Rome wasn't built in a day. So like, let's say you drink a lot of soda, you know, you drink like 3 to 4 cans a day. I would start with just cutting back to 2 cans. You know, if you drink 3 cans a day, cut back to 2 cans. And after 2 weeks, cut back to 1 can. And then eventually, you know, no soda or whatever. Like me personally, I don't drink soda. So I don't know like that, you know, I know some people like just have major soda addictions, but it's starting small. It's just making those very small changes, and they could set a small goal of drinking only 1 or 2 cans.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And then eventually moving to no cans or moving to fizzy water or something like that.
Or if anyone listening is a huge like soda crate, like they got to have their soda, I recommend Zevia, because that stuff tastes delicious, and it tastes very similar to soda, but it's zero all the things.
Oh, zero all the things. I like that. And so are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay. So I wanted to kind of go back to talking about you and a little bit more. And that question that I asked you earlier with, you know, or maybe not even people that you know, are they intimidated by your strength, both emotional and physical?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. My friends are very supportive. They're very awesome. They have helped me. A lot of them helped me I did some bake sales to raise money to help me get to nationals. And so they were like supportive and like, you know, helped me out that way. And they love it. A lot of my female friends, especially, they watch my videos and they're just like, you know, what? Like, you know, full on beast mode. Like you're, you know, you kick ass. Like they love it. And like a lot of my friends have come out to the gym that I train at to what they're able to do. As far as like guys go, like pretty much all the guys in my life have been incredibly supportive. You know, they love seeing like women, you know, do these awesome feats of strength. Like as the gym that I train at, like all the guys are just like, if someone is about to do a PR, personal record, like pretty much everyone stops and like we're all cheering that person on. Like if they're about to do a deadlift, like the guys love it. As far as like anyone being intimidated, I don't know. I've been called intimidating before in my life, but this was before I even got into strongman. I think a lot of it's just like my height. Like, you know, I have had guys say that I am intimidating looking because I'm really tall. But like, you know, I don't know. Strength wise, I'm sure there's people out there that, you know, are intimidated by that, but that's their issue, not mine.
I love that. That's their issue, not mine.
Yeah.
One of the things I heard a long time ago when I was in a self-defense training was that they're not, you know, the, what do you call them? The people that are coming after someone that, oh, you know, like the rapists or whatever.
Yeah.
Proper word for that. That is not that. But yeah, the attacker, they're not coming after somebody who is walking with confidence. They're not coming after somebody who's carrying themselves in such a way that, yeah, you know, they're looking for the person who is more meek or weak emotionally, yeah, more than anything. Mm-hmm. So I always find myself, you know, when I'm in a parking garage late at night or something like that, I make sure my shoulders are back. I'm walking tall. Yeah. I'm looking side, oh, yeah, to side, just being mindful of my surroundings. Mm-hmm. Situation. And the reality is I would totally throw down because I just would, but I know a lot of women probably wouldn't, you know? So what advice do you have for women who are maybe struggling with their insecurities or their self-confidence or, you know, that kind of thing? What advice do you have for that?
Man, when it comes to like insecurities, you know, that was something that I've struggled with for a long time in my life, you know, being insecure and being afraid. I had used to have a lot of fear, internally, afraid to like do anything, you know, take any risks in my life, and just like had a lot of insecurities. And it wasn't until I started to put myself out there and try new things that built up confidence. And I actually did MMA for like 6 months, and it was a really awesome class. I'd never done it before. I basically went on Groupon and I bought all kinds of different fitness Groupons, like MMA. I did vertical fitness, or you could say pole dancing.
Wow. Okay.
I did a class of that. I stabbed myself in the shin with my stiletto, and that was it for me. it's not my thing. But so I just to take myself out of that path of insecurity, I just dove headfirst. You know, you just kind of jump in and do something. And after you do it, you go over that first hurdle, it becomes easier. And then you build up this confidence. Feeling insecure because you're a small frame and like you don't want to be a victim. Like, I'm a huge advocate for women not being victims and women being able to hold their own. And so like self-defense classes, you know, like being able to learn how to throw a decent punch. A friend of mine does jujitsu, and I told her, like, I want you to teach me how to choke hold someone like really good.
I took a Krav Maga about 10 years ago, and I was really into it for a long time. And I learned some really invaluable techniques that to this day I can pretty much use, except for if my husband likes to put me in a full Nelson. And I mean, not sexually, I just mean when we're, you know, messing around or whatever. And I cannot get out of that. I don't even know. I cannot get out of that one.
I'm not exactly 100% sure what that is, but
yeah, Google full Nelson. I'm not sure what'll come up. Maybe don't.
Maybe I shouldn't. Okay. But, yeah, definitely. Like, taking those kind of classes, you know, martial arts or whatever it is, that I think definitely increases it. I like to call it, we have our tool belt, and we have like tools that we put in our tool belt, and it's just doing different things in life that's just going to add another tool into your tool belt. Especially when it comes to like self-defense and stuff like that. Like, personally, huge Second Amendment supporter. Like, I'm all about firearms, and specifically women. Like, in the firearms industry, the female demographic is the fastest growing demographic in the firearms industry. Like, more and more women are learning, are getting training on how to use guns and like how to be able to defend themselves. So like, in that respect, you know, when it comes to self-defense, I'm a big time supporter. Like, I'm a big girl, I can hold my own, but like, there are, you know, I'm not that strong. Like, there, men are biologically stronger than women. So
I love that you brought that up, because I recently was having a conversation with, it's a kind of a cute story. We were volunteering, me and another mom, at the school during the Olympics day, and it's second grade that our children are in. So they had a running competition, and they had a basketball dribble competition, and just different things. And they didn't separate the boys from the girls. Mm-hmm. The boys and girls were all in there together. And they were giving place for first, second, and third in the race. And the girl that was in the fourth place, there was three boys, first, second, and third, but the girl in fourth came in just like milliseconds after the boy. And so we were kind of having this conversation about, well, technically, you know, she, for all intents and purposes, did not win third place, but what would we be shutting out in her life to not acknowledge her achievement and what she was able to do? That, I mean, that might spur her interest and love of running forever, you know, to win this thing in the second grade. And the other mom, and I somehow got on the topic of feminism and boys versus girls and the future is equal and all that. And she said, the reality is there's just things that I can't do that men can. Yeah. And that doesn't make me any less of a supporter of everything that women can do.
Yeah.
And so how do you feel about that? You know, you're competing in this kind of quote unquote man's world. You hear about these kind of, it's a sensitive topic. I'm sure people must bring that up to you.
Surprisingly, no. It's a sensitive topic. But like I said earlier, my one word to describe me is unapologetic. And, you know, I have my opinions about things. Let's just say, you know, I live in California, and let's just say my opinions about things, about a lot of things, are probably in the minority of majority of California. I would not at all describe myself as a feminist. Because I say that because I see what is happening in the whole like third wave feminist movement, and I don't like it. I see just a lot of man bashing, and mm-hmm. I compete in a male dominated sport. But like, I don't know. Like, I think that women can do things. And there is a place for women in the sport of strongman, and more women are joining it. And the guys that participate in strongman, every experience I've ever had has been nothing but supportive. So like, that's why I just can't align myself with the whole feminist movement, because I've just seen these women like try to bash on men, saying that men are oppressing them and all these things. And like, I've never experienced anything that has been short of supportive of me, you know, in this sport. And yeah, there are things that men can do that, I'm just going to say, there are strengths men can do that women can't, but women have strengths that we can do that men can't. And it's like this happy combination of things, you know.
I completely agree. I really feel like we have a long way to go on finding a balance that acknowledges and respects both sides. And we all parties have a lot of work to do. Women need to raise their voices for what they want.
Yeah.
And be heard. And men need to respect that. But women also, I think, need to respect that men have gifts and strengths. Yeah. And if we completely squash that, we're going to have a very unbalanced world that is not going to feel very good at all to anybody. Yeah. Everyone's going to feel uncomfortable. Yeah.
And I'm not,
I think we have a long way to go.
Yeah. And like, and I'm not saying like there's, you know, obviously there's bad apples everywhere you go. There's going to be guys out there that are, you know, not going to be nice, that are going to be, you know, jerks. I'm not saying that women don't have those experiences at all.
Right.
I've experienced jerks in my life, but over the majority of my experience and pretty much everything I've experienced in strongman specifically, the men in my life have been incredibly supportive, incredibly helpful. And they, like I said, they love seeing the women kick ass in the gym. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's awesome.
I think that is really unique and very cool. And I think how confident those men must be and secure with themselves to raise up another woman who is succeeding.
Yeah.
Or that's just, I think that's the hope that I have for the future, is that we find that balance as male and female, or unidentified or whatever. This would be a really good time for me to bring up this quote that you had on Instagram. You said, "Until you cross the bridge of your insecurities, you can't begin to explore your possibilities."
Yep.
And what is that? Can you share a little bit about what that means for you? I know what I felt when I read that, but I'd love to hear kind of your backstory on that.
Yeah. So, like I was saying just a little bit ago about, you know, how women that, you know, feel insecure about, you know, being in like certain situations, you know, they don't, you know, they might not be strong enough or whatever. It's jumping right into something. You have to cross that bridge and just go for it. If you want to get out of that path, that's not serving you anymore. Yeah, that road of insecurities, that's just a long road of just more and more, you know, your whole life is just going to be completely insecure. You have to like take a right and cross this bridge and, you know, do things that are going to build your confidence. You know, the first thing I ever did that started this whole thing 10 years ago when I was 270 pounds and the biggest I'd ever been, the most miserable I'd ever been, I came from this mental state of feeling like I'm never going to be good enough. I'm so ugly. I'm so fat. I'm completely unattractive. I mean, I had nasty words that I was speaking into myself. And I was like, I need to make this change. And the first thing I did was, you know, I signed up for a 5K, and a man in the office that I worked at trains cross country high school teams. And I asked him, "Hey, can you train me? I'm not a good runner. Can you help me reach this goal?" And he helped me. He ran drills with me, different kind of strength and conditioning drills to help me reach my goal of doing this 5K. This was 10 years ago. And like that first step and doing that just launched this whole, like, what else can I do? you know, what else is possible? What else can I do? And then like fast forward 10 years later, I don't even know how many half marathons I've ran. I've ran 4 full marathons. Wow. You know, like it just completely launched this whole thing. Like, okay, what else is possible? Oh, okay, strongman. You know what? I'm just going to do it. Like, you just like the more you put yourself out there and the more you do things, those insecurities, those like voices in your head that tell you you can't do things, they go away.
I love that. When you were talking, I wrote down the words be open, because I think a lot of times we live with our negative self-talk and we shut out the good things that we hear from others and only like that negative voice, because it's what perpetuates what we know, what's comfortable inside our own heart or our own mind.
Yeah.
And when you asked that man for help, you know, you went outside your comfort zone to say, you know, maybe it doesn't seem like a big deal. And he wouldn't have necessarily known what you had going on inside had you not been willing to take a risk and do that. And I think that's a really inspirational message to a lot of people is, you know, and if you're not getting the help that you need
yeah.
from the people in your circle, then you need to make a larger circle. Yep.
Bring more people.
Yeah. I find that too. One of the things that, and I know I've probably said wow in this podcast like 35 times, but one of the things I've found is I say wow a lot during my podcast because I've had these incredible opportunities to talk to people that I kind of think are widening my circle. You know, I ask for help. I tend to, hear people when they say things like, oh, you're such an exaggerator or whatever, and take that as like, oh, I shouldn't be sharing my truth because other people think I'm being drama or dramatic or whatever. Yeah. And now one of the most awesome things about doing this podcast is the inspiration I've drawn from all of these, most notably women. I have had one man on, but, who are being unapologetically themselves, exactly yeah. what you describe. And if they're not finding the support they need, they're looking for it. They're, you know,
yep.
That's really that note. One of the things that you, I know, have been working on your pull-up journey. And so I feel that was my goal this year. I am 6 into it, failing miserably. However, I on my door. I don't have the bands, but my husband was like, I think the hands down greatest thing that humans.
Uh-oh.
And I remember, you know, being the tall, big girl, you know, in elementary school, I could run the fastest, but I could not do a pull-up. Yeah. That's just never been my bag. And so this year I was like, damn,
I'm gonna do a pull-up.
I feel like I'm getting stronger. Like I can hang there for a long time and I can kind of get a little, and I just try to lower down really slow. But what's your secret? What's your pull-up secret?
I suck at pull-ups. they were in my training a lot earlier this year because I did a competition in March. And so my coach had me doing pull-ups in my programming at that time. I haven't really been doing any pull-ups for the last like 2 months. I've been doing other kind of accessory work to focus on nationals. So I do need to get back into doing more pull-ups. but definitely like just doing just hanging there. And then like kind of bringing your shoulders up like for a couple seconds and then back down like that, just that kind of, exercise can help. And then like, if you like, I don't know how to describe it, like go up, like do a descent, like a tempo drop mm-hmm. pretty mm-hmm. much like go up, get your chin over the bar. Like, you know, from a bench or something, like have a chair or something or a bench under you to get you up and then slowly let yourself you know, drop to a full hang. That can help increase your strength as well. But I like resistance bands. I, for a long time, always needed I'm 244 pounds. Like that's a lot of weight. I'm not making excuses for myself, but I am making
a lot of weight to pull up. Right. It's fair. I know. That's how I feel. I'm like, I'm winning right now. I'm winning.
So it's a lot of weight. So the fact that I got to graduate from two resistance bands to down to one, I was like, woo, win.
Well, and the funny thing is, like, whenever I rock climb, cause I'll do the rock climbing at the gym or, you know, like that we have these places. Well, you've probably been the Granite Arch. Oh, it's so fun. You've got to try it out sometime. It's really fun. But I'm all feet. I'm all legs. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can get myself up there so with my legs, but if it's anything technical that I need upper body arm strength,
yeah,
done, falling off the wall.
That pull down would be good too for that.
Yeah.
Doing single arm tempo lat pull downs, like do like a three count, like go down 1, 2, 3, and then control it back up 1, 2, 3. Just that slow motion will build your lats up, and that can help with that upper body strength as well. That's what I was doing in my training for the last couple months too. So.
And this is one of those things where my husband hops on the pull-up bar and does like 25 and I'm like, back to five. And then I'm like, look at how much I've done. And he's like, that's cute, babe. That's so cute. I'm on my tippy toes. Like,
that's one of the beautiful things about like men and women, you know, how we have different strengths. Women are typically very strong in their lower body. Our lower bodies, our legs are very strong, whereas men are typically much stronger in their upper body. But see, but it works perfectly, you know, like it's just a beautiful combination. I don't know. So, but we can build those strengths. Like it doesn't mean that we can never be strong in our upper body.
Right. And that's exactly what I say to him. I'm like, well, do you want me to kick you in the chest? Cause you're not going to breathe for about 3 minutes if I do. I got these big old people joke. My sister-in-law was just joking because I don't go to the mall very often. I went to the mall to get a dress for that TV show. And she's like, who let the baby giraffe in the mall? Like clinking around. So my last question really appreciate all of your patience with these technical difficulties, but is what is the hardest thing you've had to overcome in life? And I know that's a really big question, but as it pertains to being a woman in the strong woman competition and kind of this part of your world.
Gosh, that is a really hard conversation. I was thinking about it earlier, trying to figure out what I would even say, because it's not like I just have like one thing that like just jumps out immediately. Because like for me, even though not a lot of people like know this, because I am, you know, I'm a very secure woman. I'm very sure of myself and all these things, but I used to deal with depression. I was in a period earlier this year that just like I had struggled with just very severe depression about my personal life. And so like, it doesn't necessarily relate to strongman stuff. Because honestly, like strongman's kind of, I don't want to say it's come easy to me, but it kind of has. I haven't really had struggles with strongman. I've been very like that sport. I feel like my genetics, my strength that I've just built up over the years, like I'm built for that sport. So I don't really have any struggles that I've really had to overcome, but like I have had internal struggles with depression that I was finally able to overcome about a month ago. And it totally pertains to my faith in God. And actually giving me a vision of a ministry that he wants me to start for young girls and women called Fearless Warrior Ministry, where I'm going to like host strong woman style boot camps. But that honestly, like that's the only thing that really like has been coming to my mind when I was thinking about that earlier. It was just the depression that I was experiencing for months. since like end of last year through like about March, April this year. So
I think what you said is so true too, that inevitably we're all going to have times where we, no matter what's going right in our life, there's going to be times, sense of things that are going wrong or feeling depressed, yeah, or feeling sad, or how people want to describe it. And I do think that it takes something outside of us to find a passion,
yeah,
to pull ourselves out of it. And I think people sometimes, you know, I'm a psychotherapist. I tell people I don't prescribe medication. I prescribe tools. And like you described earlier, for your tool belt or your toolbox.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can take medication and we can, you know, it's as if we are like a major league baseball, we're thrown into a major league baseball game. And when we're in depression, we're feeling these fast pitches just kind of coming at us and we can't even swing. We're just frozen.
Yeah.
The medication will slow the ball down for a little bit, but you're never going to learn the skills and tools that you need to actually hit the ball that way. You know, you've got to go outside of yourself and do something to pull yourself out of that state. And I really encourage that for all people, that, you know, if you need the medication for a little while to slow the ball down, I get it. But the better thing is to try to find something that gives you a purpose for existing.
Yep.
And I think that's beautiful what you said. Your purpose to pull yourself out of your depression sounds absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm excited.
I for you. And I got to have you on today, and I feel like we scraped this of body image, and I know you're absolutely going to love this podcast because they've been begging for it. So I'd love to have you on again sometime in the future. Maybe we can get a couple listener questions and we can have you on sometime again.
Sure. I'm absolutely down for that. Like it's a subject that I hold near and dear to my heart just because of the amount of struggles that I've had myself. And I get it. Like, I understand, you know, if there's a woman listening that, you know, has a lot of, you know, extra weight and she's feeling these kinds of ways about herself. Like, I've been there. I get it. So, and it's something that you can overcome.
Love that. Again, for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out our links.
Whoa, is that?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.